Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone. I missed you all last week. I was up in Hartford spending time and working on making a difference. I am so excited to be back on the air live again. And today we are speaking about emotional health and emotional healing. So before I get into all of that, I want us to listen to the theme song.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a I wanna be more than someone special. 'Cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
All right. Again, I said I'm very happy that you have made a decision to join in and listen. I want for you to get some things to write with, because I am just on an added mission to transform people's health and their wellness. And I've found a research by Dr. Larry Culford, C-U-L-L-I-F-O-R-D. And I'm going to be sharing that with you. So I want you to get something to write with. You can call in and share your experiences and some of your practices as well. And you can do so by calling 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. You can call in and be part of the conversation. I also want to remind you to check out the cruise for June the 14th. We are going to Europe. We would love to have you on the cruise, and you can get more information by emailing us at dynamicdaphne12@gmail.com. If you have not yet connected with us on Facebook, please do so. I'm on Twitter, Dynamic Daphne. I'm also on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and quite a few others. So be there, connect with us, let us know what it is you would like to hear us discuss here on the radio show. And we're going to talk today about health and emotional healing. And I'm going to be sharing some foods with you that you should be eating to maintain your wellness and to prevent disease. But let me go ahead and share this research with you. And it's from Dr. Gulford. Mental health is much more than the absence of mental illness. The concept of spirituality is inclusive and affects everybody. It overlaps with that of religion, but unlike spirituality, religion is potentially divisive and adopted only by some. By permitting consideration of cellular spiritual activities and short-circuiting destructive arguments about belief, a valuable perspective can be applied to the whole field of mental health care. Comprehensive research evidence shows that religious and spiritual beliefs and practices help prevent physical and mental illness, reducing both symptoms, severity, and release and relapse rate, speeding up and enhancing recovery, as well as rendering distress and disability easier to endure. Especially important is that religious and spiritual factors can significantly affect the presentation of mental disorder. Furthermore, psychiatric patients have consistently identified spiritual needs as an important issue and spiritual care as contributing to symptom relief and general well-being. It follows that psychiatric care should routinely include a careful and systematic assessment or spiritual screening. Here are some points, spiritual practices, religious and secular. And I'm going to read them slowly so you can write them down. They're in bullet points. Belonging to a faith, tradition, or community. It can be a church or a place of worship. You know, I know in some communities, every corner you go on, every block you go, you find 6, 7, 8, 9 different churches. Because everybody wants to belong to something special. The second bullet is ritual practices and other forms of worship. Another is pilgrimage and retreats. I've never gone on a pilgrimage, but I, even myself in my work, I offer retreats. Meditation and prayer. Reading, wisdom, literary, and scriptures. Sacred music. Listening to and producing it includes songs, hymns, psalms, and devotional chants. Selfless, compassionate action, including work, especially teamwork. Other secular spiritual practices include deep reflection, contemplation, engaging with and enjoying nature, also aesthetic appreciation of the arts. Next, maintaining stable family relationships and friendships, especially those including high levels of trust and intimacy. And the last one here, some types of regular cooperative group or team activity, such as some sporting and recreational clubs, involving a special quality of fellowship. I want to welcome Rinas to the show. Thank you for logging in. Feel welcome to call in at any time and to share your experiences about health and emotional healing. A principle of the spiritual approach to healthcare is that while adversity befalls everyone, it is possible to go through it. People often become stronger emotionally, more resilient, and more mature. Indeed, such maturity is difficult to develop. Without trials and undergoing and obstacles to overcome, caring still involves and relief of unnecessary pain and suffering, where possibly, but spiritual awareness can add a powerful and much needed dimension whenever our human limits are reached. The spiritual approach fosters a positive attitude even in the most heart-rending situation. By focusing on both inner and external sources of strength, spiritual awareness encourages calm in the place of anxiety and hope in the place of despair. This article is intended for both professional staff and unpaid caregivers. It addresses questions and practices as well as attitudes and how an awareness of spirituality may helpfully affect what we do. But first, the question, what is spirituality? So, what is spirituality? I'm going to read what Dr. Larry Gulford says. And I want for you to call in and tell me, what is spirituality for you? What do you, how do you break it down? How do you define spirituality? Well, here's what Dr. Gulford wrote. Spirituality has been referred to as the forgotten dimension of mental health care. It has been described as being there in deeper, in deeply personal meets the universal and sacred realm of human experience. Spirituality is concerned with people finding meaning and purpose in their lives, as well as a sense of developing of community. Because spirituality comes into focus in times of stress, suffering, physical and mental illness, loss, dying, and bereavement, it is important not only in psychiatric, but also throughout all of medicine. Spirituality has been called a quality that strives for inspiration, reverence, awe, meaning and purpose, even in those who do not believe in God. According to the World Health Organization, patients and physicians have begun to realize the value of elements such as faith, hope, and compassion in the healing process. The spiritual dimension includes these factors and goes beyond religious affiliation. According to the World Health Organization, it may be categorized under four headings: transcendency, personal relationships, codes to live by, and specific beliefs. Remember, the number to call in is 646-915-8166. Quality of life, spirituality, religious and personal beliefs, module, transcendency. And these, again, I'm giving you in bullets. Connectiveness to a spiritual being or force. Meaning of life. Awe. Wholeness, integration. Divine love. Inner peace and serenity and harmony. Inner strength. Death and dying. Detachment, attachment, hope and optimism, control over your life. Personal relationships, kindness to others and selfishness, acceptance of others, forgiveness, codes to live by, freedom to practice beliefs and rituals, and of course, faith. Specific religious beliefs, and each individual you speak to would have, of course, their uniqueness in that. You know, they have all different labels and religious codes and things like that. Religious and spiritual assessment. Some form of spiritual screening is required when facilitating appropriate spiritual support, and a full religious and spiritual history will add value to most psychiatric assessment. Several clinically tested screening instruments are available, but a helpful way to begin is simple to ask, what sustains you or what keeps you going in difficult times? A person's answer to this inquiry usually indicates his or her main spiritual concerns and pursuits. The list They are. If you check with each individual, they'll have their own checklist that they have created. However, as Dr. Gulford wrote here, there are two aspects to consider. Firstly, to what helpful inner personal resources does the person have access? Secondly, what external support from her faith, their faith, tradition, and community are available? It is important to bear in mind the social context of the person's mental illness when making an assessment of the person's spiritual needs. The following guide is from a leaflet published in 2001 and made available to staff, patients, and careers in hospital and community settings. The questions are intended to facilitate an open-ended dialogue, which may itself prove of benefit, but the leaflet can also be used on its own as an aid in the personal contemplation. Okay? All right. Healing from within is the heading of this piece of literature. A guide for assessing the religious and spiritual aspect of people's lives. Research and experience show that people have religious and spiritual resources to draw on when needed. Here are some questions which may be helpful in opening up this area. A gentle and hurried approach works best. We offer five headings, setting the scene. What do you think life is all about? Is there anything that gives you a particular sense of meaning and purpose? The past. That's the second question. Emotional stress usually involves some kind of loss or threat of loss. Have you suffered any major losses or bereavements? How did they affect you? How did you cope? What helped you to survive? Is it possible that you gained something from experiencing such a loss? What you say you were emotionally strong or more resilient now? Question three, the present. Do you have a feeling of belonging and being valuable and being valued here? Do you feel safe? Are there enough opportunities for meaningful activity? Are you treated with respect and dignity? Are you being listened to as you would wish? Think about what is happening to you now. How would you describe it? Would you say you were having symptoms of mental illness and some kind? Would you prefer another explanation? Would it help to talk, to try and make some sense or meaning out of what your life, out of your life and what's going on? Would there be a spiritual aspect of your problem or your current needs? Would it help if a room in the hospital was set aside as a quiet place to pray and worship? Would it help to speak to a chaplain or someone from your own faith community? Please feel free to say more about your religious background. The future. How do you consider the immediate future? What about the longer term? Do you sometimes find yourself thinking about death or dying? Or about the possibility of an afterlife? Would you like to say a bit more about this? What are your main fears regarding the future? Do you have any lingering guilt? or feel the need for forgiveness? What, if anything, gives you hope? Is there anything else you would like to say or ask? Remedies. What kind of support do you think would help now? What do you think would be helpful specifically in terms of religious or spiritual input? Who do you think would be best offered any support that you may require, for instance, health professionals, members of your family, or member of your religious community? How will you go about asking for the help you need? What can you do to help yourself? Providing spiritual support. To raise these topics and listen respectfully is already to provide a measure of spiritual support for people. Nevertheless, referral for pastoral care or engaging self-referral is experienced mental health chaplains will call for on occasion. An ideal and adequately resourced mental health chaplains department in the UK will have access to sacred space as well as interviewing space, and will involve clergy and other appropriate personnel from many faiths and humanistic organizations, as well as from several Christian denominations. The chaplains will have made a point of establishing good relations with local clergy and faith communities, and will provide a knowledge base about local religious groups, also their traditions and practices. They will be alert to situations in which religious beliefs and activities may prove harmful, and available for advice on controversial issues such as spirit position and the ministry of deliverance. Possibly harmful effects of religion. Being a victim of persecution, adverse effects of metabolism and medication, use as devoted when fasting, spiritual influencing, resulting in people stopping necessary medication, risk associated with people failing to seek timely medical care, risk when people seek alternative unsuccessful religious treatments, negative psychological effects on people of group disapproval involving criticism and loss of support. And the last bulletin, this one, is negative effects of psychological health associated with a person's belief in a distant or intolerant deity. Training issues. Just as mental health chaplains will require some specialized training in mental health illness, mental health assessment treatment methods, and teamwork. So multidisciplinary, mental health professionals will benefit from improved spiritual awareness. Although new professionals consider themselves adequately trained on this subject, many are now taking a personal interest and included in their plans for continuing professional development. The Royal College of Psychiatrists, Spiritual and Psychiatric Special Interest Group, is encouraging this through conference, day meetings, and publications. Curricula have been developed, and as a result, this subject is now being taught in many medical and nursing schools in the U.S. and in the United Kingdom. Research methods are so improved, with increasingly informative and reliable results. For example, the efficiency of mindfulness meditation is the prevention of relapse or reoccurrence of case of major depression. It has been a particularly interest in the recent times. Boundary problems, as well as training and competency, questions naturally also rise about professional boundaries. Some professionals may wish to act as pastoral caregivers, and some will in private pray for their patients. Others, in all coincidence, avoid such activities. It is not uncommon in the United States for patients to want doctors to pray for them. Ethical question cannot be avoided about this, and as yet as not an answer by the research on the effect of priors, since despite some enthusiastic support, results remain equivocal. Individual coincidence therefore need to be exercised. Either way, religious and spiritual practices, including prayer, can help practitioners retain equanimity and stay hopeful, perhaps especially when medical treatment proves ineffectual or limited. CARES matters. CARES, especially family members, tend to have more freedom regarding some boundary issues. They are also likely to have a good knowledge of religious and spiritual aspects. One of the patient's life and may share in many of their beliefs and practices. With permission, it may be helpful for professionals, including chaplains, to gain further information about a patient's spirituality from their careers. I keep checking for my phone to see if I have any calls. So when I hear me break, that's the reason. The careers position of spiritual intimacy with a sufferer is often one of comfort, but it can bring distress and additional occasional burdensome responsibility. These issues need dealing with sensitively. For example, when someone takes a special diet for a reason related to his or her religion, spiritual and personal beliefs, and is then admitted to hospital, the care may feel obliged, the carer may feel obligated to contact the relevant authorities. If such is a diet, it's not provided. This is an uncomfortable and conflict may arise. If a person's spiritual imperatives are overlooked, in such circumstances, a systematic chaplain can become a valuable additional member to the clinical team, listening to the carer's concern and relay them back to the consideration for consideration. This acknowledging and spiritual dimension to the care being offered must also be prepared to explore their own spiritual deeds. This is a point for carers alike. Spiritual values. There is a distinction to be made between curing symptoms and helping a person to heal. Through natural process to become whole again, the first is interventionist, while the latter is more restorative in approach. Viewing from the spiritual perspective, life is a process, a journey of discovery and development, during which personal maturity may importantly be gained through adversity. To deny this by being only concerned with the relief of suffering through the removal of symptoms is to risk impoverishing the experience of all involved, carers and professional colleagues, as well as patients. Developing some form of spiritual awareness and acknowledging that may be called spiritual value allows a values base to sit beside an evidence base and daily practices, so restoring a necessary and healthy balance to practice of psychiatry. Some spiritual values: honesty, courage, patience, tolerance, compassion, kindness, generosity, joy, hope, and love. Many have discovered another principle of spiritual care, that of reciprocity, according to which giver and receiver both benefit from their interaction. there is a high coincidence of material breakdown, drug dependency, alcoholism, depression, and suicide among mental health professionals. Other carers are affected by smaller stresses. It is hopeful then to read that time invested in learning about spiritual caregiving has beneficial consequences, including spiritual growth, new insights, new interactions of personal situations, and new vigor in professional practices and protection from burnt out. And here is the conclusion. Here's the conclusion of the research. The different perspective of professional and lay caregivers come together through the unifying and healing values of spirituality, which offer common ground for constructive discussion when suffering persists despite everyone's best effort. Important to spirituality offers a silent space in which to come compassionately together and share in grieving when little else can be done. It allows for bewilderment, fear, guilt, anger, and other painful feelings gradually to settle and to foster mutual respect. It promotes healing powers of the forgiveness and love. Spirituality is therefore worth contemplating and discussing as a deep human concern. Whether or not it is part of a specific faith tradition, especially in the context of mental health care, where emotional pain and grief can encounter so frequently, there is a growing consensus that mental health and spiritual health are closely related. Even where there are differences of experience, opinion, and belief, common ground and similarities emerges as more important. Further quantitative and quantitative research is obviously going to be helpful, but it is abundantly clear that the religious and spiritual lives of patients do matter, and that everyone believes, careers included, when these are properly evaluated and respected. Continuing professional development for healthcare professionals must include the spiritual dimension. Fostering good relations with chaplain colleagues by including them, for example, in ward rounds and team meetings can also be a benefit. This is trendsetting practice. Let us hope, with the degree of expectation that many involved with the care of the mentally ill will come to concise and full value of the spiritual dimension. I am excited about this, and I'm reading this because I have known of people in this community who were mentally ill, and because they became saved or they accepted the Lord as their personal Savior and became converted and were regularly visiting places of worship, they stopped taking their medication, and next thing you know, they committed suicide. So, if you are the caregiver of someone who is mentally ill, or if you are mentally ill, yes, you can practice your spirituality and your religious practices. However, it is of vital importance that you continue to take your medication and do not get off of your medication. You need to have the wisdom to know that God created the people who had the smarts to go and study medicine. So if they put you on some medication, do everything else. Do your meditation and everything else, but take your medication. They both will work together. So I just pray that that was beneficial to you and that you get some insight. And I tell you, each one help one. Let us not be selfish. When we see people, we turn our eyes. If we see people who are depressed, or if you have a coworker who does not look the same way they used to look, engage in a conversation with them and find out what's going on with you. Are you depressed? You know, with a lot of what's going on now, people are just taking it the hard way, and their faith is not strong enough. I remember, I think it was out in California, where a man killed his entire family because he had lost his job, his wife and his children. Let me tell you, no problem is deserving of you taking your life. So let us be watchdogs for our neighbors, our relatives, and our friends, even your enemy, because sometimes it's going to take you to make a difference in somebody's life. So if you see something that is going on with them, and you know that it looks out of the ordinary, offer a hand. Ask probing questions so you can point them in the right direction. So, if you're just joining us, we are talking about health and emotional healing. And I just share about mental health issues and how our spirituality and our religious belief can enhance our mental health. And so now here's a word from our sponsors.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4AMD. 4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
All right. So that's a word from our sponsors. And now we just talk about some of the practices, meditation and prayer and all other support that we can engage in to maintain our health. But it also includes some of the foods that we eat. We can eat the right type of foods to enhance our health. In our busy world, we often don't take the time to eat healthy and properly. Or true what we eat. You remember when we were, when I was young and in school, they always say what? True everything that goes into your mouth, you chew it 32 times before you swallow. No, I don't even know if we are chewing 5 times. So that's something to go back to basic with. These tendencies make extra work for our digestive system if we do not chew our food properly. All right? And I guess people by listening can say that I have took up a new ritual, and that has to do with my food. I'm now eating majority raw foods and juicing, and it is doing such an amazing thing for my life. I have found out that it is so important, it's very important for us to eat healthy and fresh. It is of vital importance for us to do that. We eat wrongly. No doctor can cure us. If we eat right, no doctor is needed. And that's a quote by Victor G. Roquin. Eating an abundance of nutrient foods, I like to call them power foods, can add years to our life. Not just years, but healthy, vibrant, disease-free years. Who doesn't want to live longer and happier? I know I do. By enhancing a healthy lifestyle and fueling your body with the right types of food, you can expect to see all of the following: a balanced internal pH, beautiful skin, hair, and nails, decreased risk of chronic diseases, enhanced mood, enhanced and increased energy, increased athletic performances, improved digestion, decreased constipation, gas, bloating, improved sleep, lower cholesterol, low blood pressure, relieve diabetes or pre-diabetic conditions, weight loss, younger looking glowing skin with visible decreased wrinkles, and improved elasticity. When I tell you this is not somebody else's life I'm talking about, I am talking about my own life. Because a couple of years ago, maybe it's about 2 years now, I began eating drastically different. And boy, am I happy that I started doing that. So I want to talk about some of the things that we need to eat and what it does for our bodies. As you get further into your ingestion of master foods, you'll notice that your skin will improve and you'll wake up feeling well rested. You may also lose a few pounds and inches. You are not set off to do it. You are not on a diet. You are simply on a lifestyle awakening. And, you know, you include different foods like you like. For example, this morning, I did a juice. My juice was kale and green apples and kale, curly kale. That was my my breakfast this morning. And my lunch was a Master Blast smoothie made from kale, arugula mix, avocado, raw pumpkin seed, raw cashew, and some spring water added. Now, people probably hear avocado and say, "Ooh, you're drinking avocado." I tell you, oh, yes. And I put a tablespoon of honey in it, some powdered ginger, and some powdered cinnamon. And I tell you to keep your eyes open because I will be doing a cookbook with all these recipes that I'm creating. By eating this wonderful, nutritious food, I am going to be adding years to my life. I will be getting rid of chronic diseases that plague most people, you know, in my ethnicity and culture. So let's do things differently. What are we buying? You know, be careful. I tell you, I went to the farmer's market yesterday and I had a ball just shopping for fresh produce, fresh organic produce. Eat to promote wellness. And here are some of the foods that we can eat to promote wellness. If you are someone that eats dairy, you can enjoy some non-fat cottage cheese, unsweetened yogurt, goat's milk, raw or skim buttermilk, non-dairy almond milk, and coconut milk. You can also enjoy eggs, boiled or poached. Fish, all broiled or baked, freshwater fish, salmon or canned tuna in water. And wild is better, not the farm raised. Fruits, fresh fruits are always the best. I do not use the canned fruits. As a matter of fact, I don't use anything in the can because they're too salty with the preserves. Grains, all whole grains and products containing 100% whole grain is good for us. I do brown rice is maybe the only thing. I don't do pasta sometimes, occasionally, as they say, once in a blue moon, I do the brown rice. Meats, skinless turkey or chicken or lamb. I invested in that book, Eat for Your Blood Type, so there are certain things that is off of my list that I should avoid. Sesame seed is one of those things, chicken, tomato, and corn. And I tell you, boy, I love me some corn, but that's off of the list. Those are one of the things that, few of the things that they say I should, and peanuts that I should avoid. Nuts is another good thing, and I suggest you heard me mention raw. So I do raw cashew, raw sunflower seeds, and raw pumpkin seed. And I either eat them or I add them to my master blast. Oils, I do coconut oil and I do olive oil. There are some people that they say cold pressed oils is the best. I know I have a friend that use the eggless mayonnaise. I don't use the mayonnaise. I use the butter, or what I do, I make hummus, and then I use my hummus as the spread for whatever I am making. There are eating to promote wellness, the seasons, garlic, turmeric, onions, all herbs, thyme, fresh herbs, basil, seaweed, whatever spice you like. I just like all of the spices, and I just put them in the butterscotch pepper, all the great spices that you like. Whatever you like, don't be afraid to use it. Remember, it's trial and error. So you just go in your kitchen and you play. Soups. I tell you, I remember making a soup for my friend, pea soup without any meat. And she said, "Oh my God, I can't believe that you don't have some ham hock and turkey in there." It was just vegetable and different, I think four different type of peas and beans. And it was delicious. You can make delicious homemade soup, and you can either make it fresh, you can freeze it. You can make lentil soup, you can make vegetable soup, brown rice soup, onion soup. You know, just be creative. Go in there. I tell you, I went to the Patel's market, and I picked up a lot of beans that I still don't know how to cook them, but I am going to have to find a recipe. And if I don't find any recipe on there, I'm still going to try and make my own recipe for them. But I tell you, the peas and beans are delicious, and you can make soups and things with that. Sprouts and seeds, I like the raw seeds, as you heard me mention. And I do, they have those little sprouts. They're white with a little green top. I think they just call them sprouts. I don't know what it is. But as I was speaking with a lady at the market when I was picking up some of the beans I didn't know, she explained to me that she used a certain variety of the beans I was picking up. She sprouts it and she puts it in her salad. But there's a special cloth that you must buy to do the sprouting. So I have not done the sprouting yet, but I'll be sure to share it with you when I do that. Sweets, oh my heavens, that is my downfall. I love me some sweets. I love me cinnamon oatmeal raisin. That has always been my downfall. But I'm doing a little better now. I have replaced that with the dried coconut. So instead of going for the sweet all the time, I tell you, last week I dropped off the wagon because I went down to New York and my friend made some of the most delicious food. And of all the things she had some grater cake, which is a sweet candy that's made out of coconut. It's white with a little red dot on top of it. And she made that. So as I speak, I have a couple in my refrigerator still. But, you know, it's like do everything in moderation. Do not overdo. So I eat raw almond. I eat some walnuts. And there's another big brown nut. I forgot what it's called. I can only eat two or three of them. They are so big. So whatever nuts you like, just make sure you get it raw. And I snack on the almond with some raisin and the sunflower seed on the cashews, the raw cashews, okay? Yes, it's expensive, but you are worth it. All right? So for like today now, yesterday I made a hummus. I made a roasted vegetable hummus with curry. Oh my heavens. It is delicious. So in the evening, you heard me mention about having the Master Blast smoothie for my brunch or whatever. Well, later on for my snack, I had some cucumbers, fresh cucumbers, some curly kale, some red bell peppers, yellow bell peppers, and black bell peppers. This was the first I was eating the black bell peppers. I got it at the farmer's market yesterday. And I also got some round carrots. The carrots were round like turnips. I got some of those yesterday. So I ate that with my hummus. And that, well, maybe I'm still full from that. So I think that's probably going to be my dinner. So, you know, go in the kitchen and play. Don't be afraid to play. Your fresh foods, your papaya. When I am through with the cookbook, I am going to be sharing my shopping list. Yes, in there as well. I bought a squash yesterday, and I'll have to go back and ask her what is the name of it, because she shared with me that she meaning the lady at the farm stand, she shared with me that she sautés the squash. She took the ends off and she sautéed with seeds and everything in. However, because I had the vegetables in the oven roasting, I just went ahead and I put the squash in there, and when it was 3/4 of the way complete roasting, I added the Russian kale, the purple kale, and oh my heavens, was it delicious. So I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to be throwing away any more seeds out of my squash, because I used to be cutting them up and scraping the seeds out in the garbage. But now I did not realize that I could cook it like that. So now I'm going to be cooking all the seeds and everything like that. So call me and let me know what you are doing with your foods. Tell me what kind of a fun you are having in the kitchen, because you can add years to your life depending on what you buy. I know most people that I speak to, they are quick to tell me, oh, but that kind of a food is so expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you, so are the medications. The medications are very expensive, so you can choose. Do you want to live on the pharmaceutical, or do you want to invest in a longer life by eating correctly? I There are many foods that are really, let me rephrase it. There are some foods that we always think it need to be had like this. For example, avocado is one of them. Because we always think of, avocado is only for salad. Hello? No, it is not. So you can put your avocado in whatever you want to put it. You can put it in your omelet. You can put it in your Master Blast drink. And you can do, it is very, very, very nutritious. One of the other things that I buy a lot of is flaxseed, and I grind my own flax. So it is fresh. I am milling it just as I need it. And all of my Master Blast superfoods that I make, I add the flax to that. So give me a call, 646-915-8166. And let's talk about some of the things that you are doing in the kitchen. Cucumbers, green peppers, zucchinis. Yes, we are accustomed to roasting them and grilling them. No more, we can put them in our drink and make sure that whatever we are eating and drinking, they are nutritious to our bodies. So be conscious of what it is you are buying, because your life depends on it. Call now, let me hear from you, 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And let me tell you something, if you have a windowsill in your apartment, it doesn't matter where you live, whether you live in the inner city or you live in the suburb, you can begin to grow some spices and herbs to use in your own kitchen. The lady that I mentioned who had the dinner last week, her entire backyard is cemented, yet she have a garden. And you know what her garden is in? Her garden is in her plastic containers. They grow tomato, they grow cucumbers, they grow eggplant, they grow peppers. Everything is in those plastic containers. And she keep harvesting and harvesting and harvesting. So, and she's really blessed with the harvest because she can share and give to everybody. So everybody can do something. If it is even a basil, whatever it is, a thyme, whatever, start growing something on your windowsill. Because what I have found out for the spices that you grow in your kitchen, once you cut them, you start harvest them, the more you cut them and give them water and leave them in that sun on the windowsill, they keep producing. And I've had spices all through winter from the ones that I've planted on my windowsill. So I hope that this information today is valuable to you, to your health, and to the health of your families and loved ones. Be careful what you're putting in front of your family, because their life depends on you. And you can do this as a family. Get the children in the kitchen to help you prepare the foods. Even in the planting the herbs. Children are excited about things like that. So get them engaged. Encourage them about coming to work with you on plant. Even Brussels sprouts. I tell you, children will eat what they grow. They will eat what they grow. And whatever you're expecting your children to eat, you need to eat it too. Because a lot of times parents are expecting the children to eat the things and yet they don't have it on their plates. So my question to you is, what kind of an example are you setting for the children? We must lead by example. There is no if, ands, and but about that. If we expect them to eat something, we must eat it. And there are some times when you can go out and have a splurge a little. You can go out, you can have an ice cream, you can have a cookie, you can have a little something, but you don't make it a habit and you do it in moderation. A lot of times we are too rigid on these things and there's no fun in what we're doing. And because of that, the rest of the family fight back. You know, I know a friend, she's vegetarian and she wants to force her family to be a vegetarian too. And I said to her, you don't need to fight them to be a vegetarian. Continue being a vegetarian, but cook for them healthy meat choices that they eat. And I tell you, as long as they are seeing the improvement in you, they are going to want to join you. But if you make it a war and a battle, they are not going to want to do it. So whatever you're doing, have fun with it. Make intelligent choices. And know that you can enhance the health of your family based on what you're eating. I want to remind you that you can donate for the breakfast feeding program by going to GoFundMe.com and look for the Carmel Moravian School Breakfast Feeding Program. You can donate there, or you can donate by contributing at PayPal using the email dynamicdaphne12@att.net. Every dollar, every 50 cents, whatever you give, everything will add up and you help to feed these children a hot breakfast. Help us to make this happen. And if you are listening and you would like to be on the board of directors, inbox me either on Facebook or right here. Tell me of your interest in supporting what we're doing, and we'll give you more information about how you can become a part of that. Carmel Moravian School is my former elementary school in Jamaica, West Indies. And last year when I went there to visit, I noticed that the same little two-room kitchen that I ate from as a child, the only thing that was different now is that they had a gas stove, a refrigerator, and they had a new roof on the little kitchen. So I have made a commitment to provide a breakfast feeding program because they have a lunch program. But as you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So I've made a commitment to them, and I know with God's help, we will make it. We will launch that program. And we have a bigger goal to also build them a cafeteria. And we also want to empower the parents by allowing them to grow all the produce that is used in the cafeteria. And if they really grow, they can even sell to other schools around the community, or they could supply their excess to hotels into the Montego Bay, Negril area, because they are close to those places. So I want you to send positive energies to the project. and to help us raise the funds that's needed for the breakfast feeding program. If you can give $10, that's going to be a lot, and $10 will be enough to feed one child hot breakfast 5 days a week. If you can only give $5, I thank you too, because that will help with something. So far, we have raised $397. So I ask you that you help us in supporting us to get that program up and off the ground. Again, the cruise, and the cruise is to benefit the breakfast feeding program too. And that is June the 14th, 2014. And you can get more information by you. If you're on Facebook, you can look there for the breakfast feeding program cruise. It's there as an event going to on the Mediterranean, the EPIC. We are going on, and we need your support. There is an opportunity to pay, use up the payment plan to pay for your cruise. And we ask that you join us on social media, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Facebook. So just check us out there. And give us whatever support that you can. And if you have a story that you would like to share, I encourage you to message me, and I'll set up a pre-show telephone call with you so we can discuss your story and see whether or not you are a match for this show. Again, we'll be back on the air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. It is always an honor to be here, and I thank you for your support. I thank you in advance for your contribution and donation to the Breakfast Feeding Program. And even if you want to call in and make a donation when we are on the show live, we would love that. And if you have any fundraising ideas that you can share with us, we would also welcome that. So again, I am so honored, and I was excited to share this information with you. And I want to encourage you to let us continue to take care of our mental health. And know that our spirituality, and for those of you who are into religion, that really enhances your mental health. So no matter what you are going through, you are not alone. There's always someone else out there who is willing to support and to encourage you. So do not be afraid to ask for help. When you ask for help, it shows your strength. When you isolate yourself, that's when it shows that you are weak. So don't be ashamed. Remove pride out of the way and just go for it. Go for what you want, knowing that you are not alone. There's always someone willing to extend a hand, someone willing to lend a listening ear. And if the time comes when you need to cry, there's always a shoulder to cry on. And if you can't find anybody, you call me right here on this radio show. And I'll set the time aside for you. I'll set up a Skype call with you and to encourage you, to let you know that you are not in this alone. Again, I always tell you that you are born for a purpose. You have a destiny. Do not allow anyone, any situation, no matter what, no matter how devastating it is, do not allow that to get you off of your destiny journey. You are born for greatness. You are kings and queens, princesses and prince. Do not allow anyone to tell you otherwise. You have a lot of potential in you that you need to release. And only you can release your potential. I want you to realize that potential has to do with the things you have not yet done. All those things that you have already done, those are in archive. They are recorded, but there's still a lot of potential in you that you have to release. So have a great week wherever you are. Let this be your best week ever. Go out there and kick some butts. This is Dynamic Daphne, the Queen of the Empowered Soul, saying, I love you and follow your destiny.
Breaking of day. It's destiny. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah.